the religion of sex, the state of the church in Western society, defying the devil in international mission work. These are some of the issues addressed in our book of the month for February, The Gates of Hell, Confessing Christ in a Hostile World. It's edited by regular guest Dr. Scott Murray. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month, The Gates of Hell. Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. That's exactly what you will find at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. You can meet and hear some of your favorite guests teaching on Islam, the prosperity gospel, abortion, the doctrine of justification, godliness, religious truth claims, scientism, and more. Early bird registration is $110. That includes meals on Friday night and Saturday afternoon and evening. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Before the break, we were talking with Joy Pullman about one form of an abusive relationship. It takes dark forms that have nothing to do with the fantasies like 50 Shades of Grey for many people. It is a stark reality with which they live and that they find very difficult to escape. Joining us to talk about the signs of domestic abuse, Holly Shear, a Lutheran pastor's wife and mother of four children in Cheyenne, Wyoming, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, Know These Signs of Domestic Abuse So You Can Help Yourself and Others. Holly, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on today.
Why do you think abusive relationships are so top of mind now? We're reading about it every place.
I think it's because there have been some really high-profile abuse cases in the media right now, up to and including in the White House. And I think that while we are terribly sad for all of the people on both sides who are in these situations, it's really good to have light being shed on an issue that, while it never goes away, it obviously needs constant refreshing.
Well, I don't think that many people who have not had experience with it fully understand how these things come about. Why isn't it obvious that a relationship is going to be abusive from the get-go?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty easy to say that no one would get into an abusive relationship if they knew from the beginning it was going to turn abusive, right? And it's because abusers are often very charming people. On paper, they look perfect. You know, they can have wonderful backgrounds. They are successful people with college degrees. Abuse crosses socioeconomic barriers. They can be doctors. They can be lawyers. They can be teachers. They can be in really any profession. They're charismatic. They're successful. They're often narcissistic people as well. They're consummate liars, and they lie about everything. And one of the things they do is, since they lie about everything, they wrap other people up into kind of this fantasy world they've constructed. And so when you are getting to know an abusive person, it can be very difficult to know what is manipulation and what is reality. And so people, when they are getting into this relationship, don't often know what is unhealthy and what is reality until they are really deep into it.
So in other words, they think they're getting into the best relationship they've ever had that gradually reveals itself to be the worst.
Yes, absolutely. Abusive people will many times be the best person you know until all of a sudden they're the worst person you know. They will shower you with attention, with gifts. They'll flatter you because when they're doing these things, they are flattering you as a reflection of themselves, because at that point, you are just a reflection of themselves.
Let's talk about some of the main warning signs of a relationship that may in time become abusive. What should people be looking for?
Sure. The Domestic Violence Hotline actually maintains a really good list of these signs. And some of the best ones to look out for is that this person will make you feel like you are never right. They will be unreasonably jealous of the other relationships in your life, including with your family. They will question the time you spend away from them, including at school if you're a student, at work if you are employed, with your family. They will discourage the other relationships in your life, including with your family members. They will shame you. They will control the finances, including money you make if you have a job. They will do things that frighten you. They will make you feel like you can't make decisions, both by making decisions for you, and when you make decisions, they will do things that make you question whether it was actually a good decision. They will take steps to control your actions. And as the relationship kind of progresses, they will start threatening things in your life you care about, like pets. And if you have children together, your children. And then they will start sometimes hurting your pets or your children. Abusive people can start sexually mistreating you as well, or pushing you into sexual actions that you're not comfortable with. And then there's the obvious one, that they will start physically threatening or hurting you.
Two themes seem to emerge from that list. One is isolation, and the other one is control. Talk about those two, if you would.
Yeah, when you get down to it, a lot of abuse is isolation and control, and it's because abuse is about power and control. And one of the things that I got a lot of feedback from people contacting me when this article came back was, you know, people wanted to say, well, my relationship has some of these things going on, but I don't feel like it's the degree of being abusive. And, you know, relationships can have lots of things going on. And, you know, you obviously have to weigh this out with people in your life, whether it's a counselor, whether it's a trusted family member, whether it's your pastor. Abuse is about degrees. An abusive person will isolate you to a very severe degree. They will control you to a severe degree. So what you need to consider is always the degree. It might be normal to be concerned about your spouse going out with friends all of the time and not going out with you. It's not normal to forbid someone to have friends at all. It might be normal to sit down with your spouse or your partner and set out a tight budget if money isn't free enough in your household, as it isn't in many families. You know, many families have tight finances, so you don't want a lot of extra spending. It's not normal to seize control of all the money in the household and not let someone have say over anything. Abuse is about the amount of power and control someone takes over every aspect of life.
What is the cycle of abuse?
The cycle of abuse, this is one of those things where people who are not fans of kind of therapy and language in that get upset sometimes. But really what it is describing is just where something happens and tension kind of builds in the relationship and then it explodes. That's the acute violence where something actually happens, whether it's hitting or something else. And then it moves to the reconciliation phase where the abuser is terribly sorry and they apologize. They may give the other person gifts. They try to make up. They might actually seek out counseling with their spouse. They may start going back to church with them. This is where they try to make it right. And then things might calm down for a little bit. And then something else happens and the tension starts building again. And what ends up happening is the cycle ends up going quicker and quicker until something intervenes with the cycle, whether it is law enforcement getting involved or something else intervening.
Why don't the victims of abuse just leave the relationship?
You know, that's a really good and complicated question. From the outside, it seems really simple. You know, someone hits you, and especially if you're just dating that person, you just walk away, right? You know, we teach our children that violence against other people is never justified. You just don't do that. But it's not that black and white. There can be a lot of shame for people that they are in that relationship to begin with, or they might feel, especially because of all of the manipulation and the lies and the control, that it's their fault or they deserved it and they stay because of that. Sometimes people have become so isolated from all of the other people in their life, their family, their friends, their church, everyone else in their life, that they might feel like they have nowhere left to go. And if the abusive person has been lying about them, they might really not have a lot of places left to go. Fear can make someone feel trapped. It's also really dangerous to leave. One of the most dangerous times for someone in an abusive relationship is actually when they're leaving or right after they've left. It's when violence tends to escalate. And also, you know, as Christians, we know that when people are married, there's a whole different part of the equation there. We want them to have marriage be sacred. You know, we have this really strong picture of Christ and his church and what a wonderful gift and blessing marriage is. And abuse is such a sad sign of how sin has crept in and hurt such a good gift of God.
There's also, and I think this is an element of what you were talking about there, the fear. There's also a fair amount of shame involved on the part of the person who's the victim, maybe even misplaced guilt over the whole situation.
Oh, there's a huge amount of shame. A lot of times the abuser will tell them, well, you made me do this, or I had to do this because you pushed me this far, or you're so stupid that I had to do this. Abusers will also tell the other person that if you leave, you know, I'm going to take the children, or it's really a sad, sad thing.
What can the church do? What does the church need to do to improve its engagement with this issue?
I think the church has really been working hard on engaging with the issue. The LCMS actually has a task force on domestic violence, and they've been working on putting together some really good materials aimed at both pastors and lay people to help them kind of provide support in these situations. And I think the church needs to be able to provide really good pastoral care and counseling. Obviously, that's something that pastors can do. And to be there as a sanctuary, that you go there for hearing the gospel, hearing the law, forgiveness of sins, for communion. I think the church needs to be there when people come for help to actually be able to give help. We need to be able to help people access resources in the community, that we point people toward domestic violence shelters, towards the police when appropriate. And I think we need to sit there and actually listen to people when they come for help.
Should every single pastor know the signs we were talking about here, understand the cycle that you discussed there, and not only just kind of passively wait for something to show up, but as he's often called on to do as a pastor, in a little bit of kind of the role of the watchful father, watch for the signs?
I think in many of our communities, especially our rural communities, pastors are called upon to help people because there might not be other resources in those communities. And pastors might have to really be on the front lines of being there to help people in these situations. And so I think pastors really, even if it's outside their comfort zone sometimes, be very familiar with these issues. Domestic violence touches so many people in so many different phases of their lives. And I think we are only becoming more aware of these things as they kind of move out of the shadows. And I think it is only going to benefit all of our families in the church and in our communities that pastors and lay people, our elders, become more aware of the signs of domestic violence and how to compassionately help people who are being impacted by it.
Holly Shearer is a Lutheran pastor's wife and mother of four children in Cheyenne, Wyoming, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, Know These Signs of Domestic Abuse So That You Can Help Yourself and Others. You'll find a link to it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Holly, thanks.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series introducing the books of the Bible. We'll be talking with Pastor Brian Wolf Miller about the book of Joshua. The church really has no excuse for turning a blind eye to domestic abuse or acting like it doesn't happen, especially within its own ranks. After all, every Sunday morning, don't we begin the divine service admitting we are poor, miserable sinners saved only by God's free grace in Jesus Christ? With that kind of freedom, we can open our eyes to this kind of sin. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.